Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. This is our annual Atlantic 10 offseason breakdown. Later in the show, we will be joined by St. Louis head coach Travis Ford. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And we'd like to welcome a new sponsor to the show, Untuckit. Untuckit makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. You know it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. Untuckit makes a casual shirt that's not too long and not too short. It's just right. And not only do they look good, they feel great. Log on to untuckit.com and check out all the new arrivals. Use the promo code HOOPS for 20% off your entire purchase. You can also visit one of Untuckit's over 25 retail locations across the country. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use promo code HOOPS for 20% savings. And also, don't forget to send me your questions on Twitter. I will get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And as promised, we are going to dissect, digest, and offer some perspective right now on the Atlantic 10 entering the 2018-19 college basketball season, and there's perception and there's reality when it comes to the Atlantic 10 conference. The perception is, wow, the Atlantic 10 is coming off a year in which it had three teams, Rhode Island, St. Bonaventure, and Davidson, make the NCAA tournament. But the reality is this easily could have been a two-bid league last season if Davidson does not win the Atlantic 10 tournament. They won a very close game against Rhode Island, and if that happened, if Rhode Island beat Davidson in the Atlantic 10 tournament title game, you would have had Rhode Island, a team that played in a 7-10 game, and St. Bonaventure, a team that played in Dayton in the first four, as the only representation from the Atlantic 10 in the 2018 NCAA tournament. The Atlantic 10, to me right now, is at a crossroads. It's either going to do the things in the non-conference portion of the schedule from a scheduling perspective to put itself in better position, have more teams in the NCAA tournament, or it's going to become like the Mountain West and be a 1-2 bid league on an annual basis. What are the highlights, obviously, for this league this year? Kellen Grady, the next great player at Davidson. We'll talk about him later in the podcast. And the potential, I think, for a rebirth at St. Joe's if the Hawks can stay healthy. Murphy's Law has hit Phil Martelli's program for the past 2 years. We'll find out if St. Joe's can finally avoid the injury bug in 18-19. But to me, the story of this league over the last couple years has been the talent assembled by Travis Ford in St. Louis. And Travis Ford, the head coach of the Billikens, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. St. Louis is assembling a strong base of talent in the Atlantic 10 and becoming a name again nationally under Travis Ford. And the aforementioned head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast right now with John Rothstein. And coach, how could you describe right now the buzz and the excitement around your program as you enter your third season?
Well, I think people are excited. I think we've got some good players returning from last year that I think proved themselves on the court, whether it be Jordan Goodwin, Hassan French, some of these guys, as well as we're adding some young freshmen, as well as some veteran, fifth-year transfer guys, and Tremaine Isabel and Deion Wiley, and, some freshmen, Cartier Gordon and, Fred Thass. So we've got an interesting group of that we're mixing together, but I think that's what's got people excited is the returning players who they all know, as well as, some of these new guys.
Well, and obviously, you know, the hope is to put together a great mix, to have a great season and become a factor nationally. And you have an interesting perspective on the Atlantic 10 as a league, because this is your second program that you've been a head coach for. How does the Atlantic 10 right now in 2018 compare to when you were head coach at UMass?
You know, I think it's very similar as far as the competitiveness of it. Some teams have come and gone since I was in it the first time with UMass, but from top to bottom, it's as a competitive league as there is. I mean, it's a battle night in, night out, and it's just tradition-rich basketball. That's what I when I was at UMass, I loved the league. You know, you're going to New York, you're going to Philly, you're going to D.C., Richmond, Pittsburgh. You know, you just got great cities. And then obviously St. Louis here, you got great cities that really support their basketball. It's a big market that a lot of our teams are in. But as far as the competitiveness of it, it hadn't changed a bit. It's a battle night in and night out. Great coaches in this league, and the talent I think is, you know, very underrated to an extent. It's got a lot of individual talent that the guys are really putting the ball in the bat. Next year, you know, there's some guards in this league that put up some big numbers.
Well, and you know, you mentioned talent, and obviously you had a number of talented teams at Oklahoma State. You coached Marcus Smart at Oklahoma State when you were the head coach in the Big 12. How would you compare the roster you're about to coach next season compared to the most talented that you've had as a head coach so far in college?
Yeah, you know, this team I have here now, here at St. Louis, is probably the biggest, most physical team I've ever coached at this point. And that's just going through right now 4 weeks of practice this summer, of working with our guys 4 hours a week. First of all, the competitive level is off the chart. We've almost had to take a step back because, you know, we don't want to get anybody hurt in the summertime or anytime. But when we compete, whether it's one-on-one, two-on-two, and we do a lot of build-up drills, one-on-one all the way up to five-on-five, I mean, it gets to the point where it's almost sloppy. They're playing so hard and competing at such a high level. And we are a big physical basketball team. Like I said, they're probably the biggest, most physical team I've coached, from the guard spots all the way up to the post players. So from that standpoint, we need to continue to hang our hat on rebounding, defense. I think we could be really, really good in those areas.
Well, and obviously, you know, you want to obviously do your best on the backboards, but you know this as well as anybody else because you were a great guard when you played at Kentucky, that guard play is always paramount in college basketball. And there's a young man who's going to be a sophomore on your team, Jordan Goodwin, who you touched on briefly and had a very good freshman season. But I'm curious because you watch him young. You watch him obviously operate. He's got great size for a guard, and he looks like somebody who's cut from a similar cloth in terms of the mold of their game as Marcus Smart. How would you compare Jordan Goodwin entering his second season of college basketball to Marcus Smart?
Well, I think you're dead on. I think it's a great comparison as far as their strengths as a basketball player. Both of them have a very high competitive mentality. I mean, competing in every single drill every day, competing to win, no matter what the situation is, they love winning. Their games are based on physicality, based on strength, and again, just an unbelievable will to want to be their best. I think in that way, they're very, very similar. They're both big body guards that can overpower people with their physicality. They both have great instincts. Both of them defensively have incredible instincts on defenses to read passing lanes, to get their hands on balls, deflections. You know, Jordan Goodwin, I think, had one or two triple-doubles last year and was one rebound from having another one and one assist from having another one, which he was almost having four triple-doubles in 1 year as a freshman. They both affect the game in a lot of different ways, from defensive to rebounding to offense and from leadership-wise. You know, Jordan's had a great he's had the benefit of learning from one of the best leaders I've ever been around, Javon Best. Javon Best is going to be one of the best players in the Atlantic 10 next year. And from a player standpoint, but from a leadership standpoint, he has just been off the chart. And Jordan's done a great job of learning from him. You know, Javon was transferred from Michigan State, went to a Final Four, played with some great players, and he's really helped us, Javon has, by using some of those things to share with our players. And I think Jordan's been the benefit of a lot of that.
St. Louis head coach Travis Ford joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. You know, you mentioned Javon Bess, and your roster has been built in large part by key transfers from other programs. When you're at this level, how paramount is that aspect of recruiting that maybe you didn't deal with so much at the Power 5 level?
Yeah, I think it's very important, John, especially when you take over a program at this level where they were at. You know, we took a program that finished in last place 2 years in a row, and we had to upgrade the talent very, very quickly. One way to do that is to get some transfers. I don't think it's something that you want to live on every year as many as we did early, but I think in order to generate some talent, to generate some of the buzz we were talking about earlier, you have to do that. That's what we did, and Javon's been a great example of that. Louis Santos, who would be another transfer from South Florida, that's a 6'9", 255, that will be his first year for us playing this year. DJ Foreman from Rutgers had a really, really good year last year for us at the end of the year. But we will continue to do that, maybe not three or four like we've done in the past in a year, but continue to add pieces, one or two a year.
Well, and again, a program can't survive on transfers alone, and you've addressed that with the way you've recruited high school kids. You're bringing in a local kid, Cartier Gordon, from St. Louis. Obviously, it was a focal point to recruit St. Louis hard. This is a player that was ranked very high coming out of high school, and he stayed home to go to the Atlantic 10. What type of impact do you foresee for him during his freshman season?
Well, we have very high expectations. He's a special player. I mean, for his size, he's got an extreme, unbelievable agility at 6'8". He can really handle the ball, extremely unselfish, one of the more unselfish players I've been around as far as being able to make plays for other people. So what's impressed me most with Cartier in these first 4 to 5 weeks of workouts is his coachability and his competitiveness as well, of how hard he plays every second to try to win. And then you can correct him, and he's yes sir, no sir, and he does a great job of whatever you correct him on, of doing it the exact next time. We hope it continues every day, but as a talent, he's very, very special. But one thing we found, being new to St. Louis, being here for a little over 2 years, is these young players here in St. Louis, they love their home. They love representing the city of St. Louis. And we talk a lot about that as a program. Not only are we representing St. Louis University, but we're representing the city of St. Louis. So, a county of over 4 million people. We're the only Division I team in this city, which is unusual for a city of this size. So we talk a lot about wanting to represent the city of St. Louis and not just the university. And I think Cartier and Jordan Goodwin and some of these guys from this area take a lot of pride in that.
Well, and you can obviously make a pitch to have a kid stay home, but you have recruited all over the country because of the facilities that you have and the fact that, you play in a world-class arena. Hassan French is a player that, I know very well, played, on the AAU circuit in New York, and he very quietly had an unbelievable freshman season last season. 9 points a game, 7 rebounds a game. Players always make their biggest jump from the freshman to sophomore year. What do you foresee for him now moving forward as he gets into his second season of college basketball?
Yeah, I think you made a good point in that, it was kind of quiet for the fact that I think we had to put a lot of pressure on Hassan last year as a freshman to really produce right off the bat. He was, by the end of the year, the last probably 6 to 8 games, he was getting double teamed in the post every single touch and still producing, playing 35 minutes a game when he wasn't in foul trouble. But Hassan is a electrifying athlete, can play above the rim, physically as strong as any player on the court. What we're doing with him right now is we're trying to expand his game. He had to play right under the rim for us last year and really be our only true center. We're going to move him out a little bit, continue to stretch his game out and let him handle the ball. He's one of the better one-on-one players on the perimeter that we have on our team. We know he can score inside. We're even, working with him from the three-point line, improving his free throw shooting. But expanding his game, and that's for two reasons. First, he's capable of doing it. We just weren't able to showcase it a lot last year. And two, because we're going to have bigger players even around him this year, that he won't have to be the sole paint provider for us. So we're going to stretch his game out a little bit.
St. Louis head coach Travis Ford joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Billikens expected to be one of the top teams in the Atlantic 10 next year. And, you know, Travis, we're at a little bit of a crossroads in college basketball with, you know, how teams are scheduling. Power 5 conferences are going to 20-game league schedules. The Big Ten is doing it this year. The ACC is doing it in 19-20. What is it like to be a head coach at a non-power school in a non-power conference and see what's going on around you and knowing that, you know, the pressure and the importance of scheduling? It was always important, but now one could argue after recruiting, it's the second most important part of any program.
Yeah, there's no question. And it's one of the more difficult things we're doing. And we spend, I can't begin. I wish somebody would track how much time we spend on scheduling. Obviously I have one coach that's just in charge of that, that he does it full time, but I bet I meet on it probably an hour a day. At least, and then there's phone calls. It is an extremely difficult thing to do because it is so important. And there's not an exact science to it. And scheduling, you have to have two teams that want to play on the exact same, on a certain date. Then you're going to get into arguing who's going to start at home, where are you going to start? There's all kinds of tangible things that go into scheduling, and they've made it harder, I think, when they start dealing with all these quadrants. Because now we forget it. Now you're only not talking about RPIs. You're talking about what quadrant they're going to go into and how many quadrant ones do you need. And obviously being in Atlanta 10, it's a little tougher for us to get quadrant one games because you're not getting as many in-league play. So it is consuming an extremely high amount of time. And it's very, very difficult, but it is very, very important. And we've tried it with our schedule. We tried to play as tough a schedule as we could. We tried to get as many games as we could against some of the more high power teams. We're playing the Butlers. We're playing the Florida States, the Oregon States. You go down the line, the Houstons, the Pittsburghs, the Seton Halls. Southern Illinois, home and home. We're playing an extremely tough schedule. Because if you're going to have a chance to get an at-large bid, you got to do it. You have to do it or you don't have a chance.
Well, and then, you start to ask the big picture question. All of these leagues are doing different things to try and give their teams more opportunities to move the needle in November, December. What does the Atlantic 10 have to do as a conference to join that type of party so it doesn't become a league that, is in a situation where it can only get so many bids in the NCAA tournament on a regular basis?
Well, I think there's a lot of things being talked about, no different than what you've seen from, I think it's Conference USA and another conference that's, changing up their schedule at the end of the year, regular season, and trying to get the best teams to play each other. I think all these things will be discussed, and once we kind of see how that goes. But in all of our meetings, it's an ongoing discussion on how we can continue to improve our league, which I think the Atlantic 10, I think it should be year in and year out, probably top seven, minimum top eight leagues in America. I think we have those type programs in our league. Now, we're a big league. I think that hurts us at some point sometimes. Having 14 teams is a lot of teams in a league. But I think that's a very reachable goal to be a top seven, top eight RPI team every year and jumping even higher some years. And part of that is, scheduling tough, but you also got to win. Playing stuff, we got to win games. But I think we have the programs, the coaches, the commitment in this league from our commissioner to everybody that I think it's going to get done. I think you're going to see a push here in the next couple of years. The Atlantic 10 is going to be people are going to recognize us for very similar to what hopefully the Big East has done the last couple of years. I think you're going to be talking about the Atlantic 10 in the same terms.
St. Louis head coach Travis Ford joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Billikens expected to be one of the top teams in the Atlantic 10 next season. Travis, you're in a unique situation right now because, you are coaching at a place where, one of the great coaches of this generation, Rick Majerus, had great success at St. Louis. And you're also obviously a product of Rick Pitino. You played for him at Kentucky, went to the Final Four as a player in 93. What have you taken from Coach Pitino that you still apply to your team today? And what has it been like and what have you grasped from, being around where Coach Majerus worked before, he ultimately passed away?
And that's interesting. A great question, because I've tried to, talking about Majerus first, tried to pick up as much as I can from people who have been around him. It's not as much plays or anything like that, but the one thing that always has come across from people who are around him here and talking to other coaches, just how detailed he was from everything that he did. From, you know, he would walk out on the court and move a guy 1 inch to, this is where you're supposed to screen, that's not right, and moving a half an inch over. And I've heard those type things, and those are things that I've tried to get better at, those detailed things, and tried to, he didn't overcomplicate things as much as he was a great teacher. Majerus was a great teacher and understood the game. And, you know, a lot of coaches can overcomplicate things, and I'll put myself in that category a lot, try to overcomplicate it and just simplify it and do what you do and do it great and be very detailed like he was. And Coach Pitino learned so much from probably most things, preparation for opponents, game planning, you know, work ethic every single day. Obviously, they learned so much from him as well. I could go on and on, but you know, those are two of the greatest coaches in college basketball for sure.
Well, and obviously, you know, when you're around great coaches, you hope obviously you use all that knowledge and bring it to your team. What is the message you've really relayed to your team so far as you get ready to deal with a season where you're going to obviously have high expectations?
Yeah, you know, obviously the detailed things every day, try to get better every day like every coach says. But for us, I've talked a lot about our team, that be prepared to read, be prepared that you're going to be picked high in the league. A lot of people are going to pick us to win the league. I've already told them that, but we have done nothing to prove that yet. We have done, you know, Rhode Island last year was picked to win our league because we're really what they did the year before in moving into that position. St. Bonaventure was picked second in our league last year and was an elite team, but they were really, really good the year before. We have to earn every single day for people to talk good about us. We have to earn every single day to earn the right to be at the top of a league, because you're not, you know, nobody's going to give it to you. Just because somebody's going to pick you at a certain spot doesn't mean that's where you're going to be in March. And that, at the end of the day, that's the end result, the end, you know, goal for us is to try to be at the very top of the league and try to be an NCAA team in March, not in November and all that, because we understand, you know, on paper, we've got a decent basketball team. We know people are going to pick us at the top, but we've done nothing to earn that yet. And that's what we're going to have to work every single day to get better, to earn those type things.
Final thing for me, Travis, what's the biggest key for St. Louis, obviously, in 18-19 to achieve what you just said, to be in a situation where you can make the NCAA tournament and win your league?
I think a couple of things. Chemistry, bringing everybody together, the returners, the new guys, the transfers, bringing them all in. We talked about the word synergy around here a lot, and what that means, how it pertains to our team, synergy. And then also, you know, we've got to every day be true to who we are identity-wise for our team. Be true to who we are. Every time that ball's thrown up, we've got to, for 40 minutes, we got to be the most aggressive, toughest. We got to battle every single possession, play harder than anybody, because that's what our makeup is. We should have some depth if you stay healthy and everything. We should have that. We should have some talent, but we are a big physical team, and we have to play to our identity every single night and have fun doing it every single night.
Travis, appreciate a couple minutes. Hope to catch you on the road at some point here during the July recruiting period. And best of luck as you move forward, obviously, with July recruiting and summer workouts.
John, I really appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
We'd like to thank St. Louis head coach Travis Ford for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to Geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's Geico.com. And now time for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter that are Atlantic 10 related. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question right now is going to go from Adam Lindern. John, what type of season do you envision Duquesne having? You know, it's funny you brought that up, Adam, because I really think that you're looking at a situation where Duquesne under Keith Dambrot could maybe play its way into the top half of the league. Keith Dambrot, again, did a great job at Akron for a long time, did a great job at Duquesne last season. Duquesne, again, has not been to the NCAA tournament since 1977, and that year they won the league championship tournament and got an automatic bid. This is an interesting storyline to watch right now, a program that has had no real consistency, no real tradition, and a relevant college basketball program. Keith Dambrot obviously being in a situation where he's bringing that back to relevancy. Our next question comes from Mike Lowry, and it's, John, with the VCU point guard uncertainty, what do you think is their ceiling? The VCU point guard uncertainty you're referring to is obviously the health of Marcus Evans. Hurt himself in an Achilles injury, with an Achilles injury last year as a red shirt, hurt his other Achilles this year. Everything I'm gathering right now from VCU is that Marcus Evans should be back before Atlantic 10 play, which is good news for VCU fans and good news for the Atlantic 10. But I just don't see the talent base for VCU this year to be nearly where it was with Will Wade, and not even close to where it was with Shaka Smart. VCU, to have a chance to finish in the top five or six of the league, needs a healthy Marcus Evans. And then our next question comes from John Bjorkness, and it's, John, what is the ceiling for St. Louis this year? To me, St. Louis is a team that has a chance to be mentioned the same way Nevada was mentioned last year entering the NCAA tournament. A team that's not in the power conference, that is exceptionally talented, that can win its league and be the trendy team nationally that people associate with the Atlantic 10. And we've been talking a lot about the Atlantic 10, and we're going to move now to our news and notes portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And we start with my offseason power rankings.
John's Atlantic 10 power rankings.
St. Louis is going to be one, St. Joe's at two, Davidson with Kellen Grady at three, Rhode Island with David Cox at four, great backcourt with Jeff Doughton and Fats Russell, George Mason, four double-figure scorers back at five, St. Bonaventure, six, Dayton, seven, UMass, eight, VCU, nine, Duquesne, 10, Richmond, 11, LaSalle, 12, GW, 13, Fordham, 13. Now, my Atlantic 10 sleeper.
John's Atlantic 10 sleeper.
I'm going with Duquesne. I'm a believer in Keith Dambrot. I'm a believer in the job he did last year. He has a number of transfers sitting out, including Frankie Hughes, the talented import from Missouri. I like what is going on in Western Pennsylvania. It's rare that you look at Duquesne basketball as being something to watch moving forward. I think Duquesne basketball under Keith Dambrot is something to watch, and so is my Atlantic 10 Preseason Player of the Year.
John's Atlantic 10 Preseason Player of the Year.
Going with Kellen Grady from Davidson, you know, was sensational last year as a freshman. Everybody wanted to know, how was Bob McKillop going to replace Jack Gibbs? He replaced him with Kellen Grady. And look, it's unfair to compare every great guard that plays at Davidson with Steph Curry, but let's appreciate Kellen Grady for what he is, a guy that has a chance to be the Atlantic 10 Player of the Year, and a guy that, again, could be one of the mid-major players, and actually mid-major is not a fair term, could be a player outside a power conference that it becomes a national story, because he's got a chance to be one of the leaders, in my opinion, nationally in scoring next year in college basketball. Now, let's look at the A-10 preseason first team.
John's Atlantic 10 preseason first team.
Kellen Grady, obviously, from Davidson. Going to go Jordan Goodwin from St. Louis. Jeff Doughton from Rhode Island. Charlie Brown from St. Joe's. Did not play last year because of a wrist injury, but could be the Hawks' next DeAndre Bembry. And Josh Cunningham from Dayton. Now, let's look at some impact freshmen.
John's freshman to watch in the Atlantic 10.
Cartier Gordon from St. Louis, the top 100 player. Also going with Fred Thatch for St. Louis. Jared Bynum from St. Joe's. Jermaine Harris, Tyrese Rice, and Dana Tate from Rhode Island. Dwayne Cohill from Dayton. Asun Asunyi from St. Bonaventure. Going to have to work that out with the SID. Vince Williams from VCU and James Ellis from Duquesne. And then impact transfers right now are the next topic.
Sean's transfers to watch in the Atlantic 10.
Marcus Evans from VCU, along with Michael Gilmore from VCU, Tremaine Isabel, Luis Santos, and Deion Wiley from St. Bonaventure. Jalen Boyser at St. Bonaventure, he came by way of UNLV. Jared Reuter at George Mason, DJ Williams at GW, Tracy Carter at LaSalle, and Frankie Hughes, the aforementioned Frankie Hughes from Duquesne. Now let's look at some breakout guys.
John's Atlantic 10 breakout players for next season.
Hassan French from St. Louis, Keshawn Pritchett from Davidson, Fats Russell from Rhode Island, Isaac Van from VCU, and Terry Nolan from GW. So we got you set right there with all your needs, obviously, for the Atlantic 10. Would like to thank St. Louis head coach Travis Ford for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.